It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareInc using #ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. It is Dr. Daria, and I'm going to be answering our users' questions. A lot of these come up on ShareCare, so if you want more of my answers, go to ShareCare.com, where you can find all the answers for these and other questions, and you can submit your own. Also, remember, you can also submit them on Twitter @ShareCareInc, #ShareCareRadio, or to me @DrDaria. So, question number one, what are your suggestions on how to get ready for labor? So, I hope that our listener is still is feeling well and getting prepared. So, here are some of my tips that I suggest. You know, when you're getting ready for labor, when do you start? I typically suggest, and most OBs will suggest, you start about when you're 34 weeks pregnant. You really don't need to be packing and doing logistics when you are running around there, running to the hospital. It's a time where you're going to be forgetting things. Don't even do it. Do it 34 weeks pregnant. Get yourself ready. First of all, pack your hospital bag. There are tons and tons of lists online. You can, you know, pack a hospital bag to eternity if you want to. There are a few things I thought were really important when I went to the hospital as a patient myself to have my baby. So, phone charger, don't forget it. You're going to be wanting to call people or to social media or whatever, especially if you're waiting for a while. Flip-flops for if you need to go, when you want to go use a shower or the bathroom, you don't want to go barefooted. Remember, any cameras, video cameras, regular cameras, any of that. Also, bring an extra empty bag because you're going to get a lot of things from the hospital to want to take home. It's better to have just an extra bag with you. And you'll also get some gifts. You want to take those home. And don't forget, on your way at the hospital, you're going to have pictures taken of you. So in your hospital room and also on the way home. So pack any clothing or any products or anything else that you'll want, knowing that you'll be getting a lot of photographs. So pack your not only your own going home clothes, but the first going home outfit for baby. So choose that. Also, don't forget any nursing supplies or pumping supplies. And that's because they have some great lactation experts at the hospital. And if you have any questions, that is your chance to answer, to get them all answered. So take those with you. And of course, any toiletries you need to make you feel human while you're sitting there in the hospital, it can be tough. Now, once you've packed your bag, I want you to arrange for the care of anything at home, whether that's pets, other kids, you know, anything you'll need, watering the plants, whatever it is, make sure you have those in place and make sure that you have them in place with one call. So when you're leaving to go to the hospital, especially if it's 2 a.m., that's not the time that you want to be calling 18 different people. Put one person in charge of that phone call. Ideally, someone who's not your partner, because your partner may be driving you to the hospital. Speaking of driving to the hospital, the next thing I want you to think of is how you're going to get there. Not a great idea to drive yourself when you're in labor. So make sure that you have a neighbor or a family member and a backup for your backup. I like to have multiple backups, not just for who's taking care of kids or pets at home, but also for how you're going to get to the hospital. And then there's just a few items you need to have ready at home if you're going to take baby home. There's a huge list of a million things you need for that nursery. There are just two, really, that you really have to have. You need some place for baby to sleep once you get home, and you also have to have a car seat. The hospital will not let you leave without a properly installed car seat. So make sure you have that. Make sure it's installed before you get to the hospital. Talk to your doctor to make sure you know where to go in the hospital. And like I said, arrange a chain of command. So you're making one phone call and you'll be about as ready as you can be. So good luck. I hope you're feeling well. Our next question is on the opposite end of the spectrum, and it's about gout. And this user had said, why is gout more common in men? So what is gout? A lot of people ask us this in the ER. Gout occurs when the body forms crystals from something called uric acid. Now, these crystals can build up in specific joints like your toe and can cause significant pain. It can be excruciatingly painful. Now, before menopause, women have lower levels of uric acid levels than men. So it's often felt that estrogen may be a factor for that. But after menopause, women's levels of uric acid essentially equalize and normalize with that of men, which is why we also see women starting to develop gout by the time they reach their 50s or 60s. So estrogen is to blame, or really more the benefit to keeping us from getting gout as early as men. Now, our next user asked about lactose intolerance and how can I avoid the symptoms of lactose intolerant? So if you are lactose intolerant, you know, the key really is to minimize your symptoms by reducing the exposure to those foods that contain dairy. Now, that includes some really yummy things like milk, cream, ice cream, yogurt, cheese, and butter. If you are truly lactose intolerant, I really suggest you talk to a nutritionist and make sure that you're able to avoid those foods without missing out on important nutrients such as calcium and vitamin D. They also may be able to help you to know what foods you can eat safely and also some alternatives. You know, instead of dairy milk, you can have almond milk. There's, you know, a lot of other solutions out there that can enable you to have the really yummy foods you want and not miss out on those, but yet not have the symptoms. Now, it can be especially tricky because dairy products are in some foods, you know, where you really wouldn't suspect it. So look for other ingredients too, such as milk byproducts, dry milk powder, or even whey. And again, that's another reason why if you go to a nutritionist, they can help you and tell you what things to look for. There are also some people that find benefit from using enzyme supplements, and there's a bunch of those, lactate, lactrace, dairy ease, lactrol. Depending on the person, they may find that those help them as well. So there's a lot of alternatives out there. I don't want you to give up on an entire group of food. There are ways to avoid the symptoms and still have the foods you eat that you want to eat. Now, our next user had asked about what are some healthier solutions and substitutions for diet soda. So I here am guilty as charged. I am a big fan of a diet soda too, and it's a tough habit to break. So what are some things that I do to make sure that I'm not drinking too much of it and to really kind of limit my intake? Number one, of course, water. We all get really bored of water though, except maybe some people don't. I tend to get really bored of water, but I like to make it more fun. So a couple of different ways. Number one, throw in some fruit. Doesn't matter what you throw in strawberries. You can throw in cucumbers. If I want to feel like I'm at the spa, throw in some cucumbers or whatever really is in season. You can throw it into your jug and just drink that and you get a little bit of flavor. I also, if I'm feeling something cold and fizzy, go for a seltzer. You know, it can be fruit flavored or just, you know, naturally flavored. You're going to get that fizzy feeling. You'll get the cold and it gives you almost that same feeling of the diet soda. And you also feel better after drinking it. So if you're sleepy, instead of drinking diet soda, you're really better off with just tea is really great, or coffee if you drink it in small and don't go overboard. But coffee and tea are actually better for you. Even iced coffee or iced tea if you want something cold. And one of the main problems with diet soda, you think there's no calories. Why can it be bad? Artificial sweeteners can actually have the opposite effect. If you're trying to reduce your calories, they can actually stimulate you to want more foods, especially sweet ones. And that can lead to weight gain. And there are some studies that have shown that people who drink higher and more amounts of artificially sweetened drinks have weight gain as opposed to weight loss. So no matter what, I don't advocate depriving yourself of anything. I think that's no fun, and it just leads us to give in and go and consume more of it. So if you're having one diet soda a day, I'm not going to tell you that you have to eliminate it entirely. Just don't rely on it, and don't let yourself use it as an excuse to eat more later. Now, our last question, we're just going to touch on it a little bit, and it was about vitamin C boosting fitness. Now, you know, one of our users had asked, can vitamin C boost fitness? And you may have seen supplements online, some different articles about it. I've looked into the studies, and unfortunately, the research really just doesn't bear it out. There's really no evidence that vitamin C does truly improve fitness or recovery. You know, it always bears repeating, though. Before you reach for the vitamin C supplement, just get your diet to be high and rich in vitamin C. It's going to be beneficial for you from fiber and vitamins and antioxidants and all of those things, and the benefit comes from getting it in your diet, not from your supplements. And remember, get your vitamins and minerals from food, not from a pill. But again, vitamin C itself, so far the evidence does not suggest that vitamin C is particularly effective for fitness. Now, that's all the time we have for today. I know you have lots of questions. Again, you can go to sharecare.com where you can look at my profile and look at other experts' profiles and get answers to all of your health questions there. We have 200,000 questions on the site. We'll be back next week on ShareCare Radio. In the meantime, feel free to tweet me your questions at Dr. Daria or at ShareCare Inc. using the hashtag ShareCare Radio. Also, don't forget sharecare.com/RadioMD to find and be able to download recordings of all of today's segments and all of our prior segments, and also available on iTunes Store for free. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.